Good morning. May the peace of God and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. I want to greet you with the words which we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. As I just read these verses, the thought came to my mind of the things that we're going through, the things that we have gone through in this last year, and the promise that God has for us. Out of these verses that we just read, the comfort that Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, and then he goes on in verse 4, he says, who comforts us in whatever we go through. He is there for us, and he wants us to follow him. He wants us to be obedient to his word. It doesn't matter what we go through. As long as we do what he has called us to do, he is there, and he is a faithful God. He will carry us. I want to extend a hearty welcome to each one that is tuned in this morning, or maybe will tune in later. Trust that you've had a good night. And here in Manitoba, we definitely have a good day. It's not windy. Temperature isn't that cold, and it is truly a blessed day. When I was asked last week to do the message, I was also asked if I could go for two Sundays in a row, maybe do a series or continue from where I had left off. And I told him that I didn't know for sure if I'd do that. And this last week, one night I woke up, I hadn't committed to preaching here this Sunday yet. And one word came to my mind. And that word was benefit. And as I pondered on that word, different thoughts ran through my mind. One was, what does it benefit me to follow Christ? Or how do others benefit because of the lifestyle I live? And then another thought that came to my mind later is, or do I live to benefit myself with more riches or things in this life? There are many ways that we could go with this one word, benefit. While I was studying in my office, I heard a fly buzzing around a light, which can be annoying. I sat back and I looked up. There was one fly on the inside of the light trying to get out. It was trapped. And there was one on the outside trying to get in. And it reminded me of sin. What this world has to offer. Sometimes calling them benefits. Or maybe making life easier. And with that, they're not lying. There are things out there that can make our lives easier. Or maybe busier. But what do they really do? Do we have them for the wrong reasons? Do they occupy more of our time and draw us away from where God wants us to be? Satan, he's out there continually trying to lure us away from where God wants us to be. And once he has us in his grips or in his trap, just like that fly that was behind that screen, behind the light that couldn't get out, he has a hold on us and he can better control us the way he would like to. And then another thought came to my mind. What about if that light is, that bright light is Jesus Christ, and we are focused, we are committed to living our lives for him? Just as we read in the opening verses this morning, when we commit ourselves to him, how he wants to carry us, how he wants to comfort us. He doesn't want us to be discouraged. That is Satan. If there is discouragement in our lives, it isn't because of what Christ has done. It is because we allow Satan to rule our lives. And as I said already, when once he can do that, once he has a grip on us, it is easier for him to get us farther and farther away from God. I want to turn to John chapter 15, verses 16 to 18. John chapter 15, verses 16 to 18. And there we read, and these are Jesus' words, and he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." What a wonderful promise. The benefit. Jesus didn't come into this world to benefit himself because he had everything in heaven that he needed. There was nothing that he fell short. When he came into this world, and we read about the life that he lived, we could say he did not benefit according to his own will. But truly he did. He came to seek and to save that was lost. And here in this verse he says, "And he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Just before Jesus went back to heaven, he says, "I have to go back. And I will send you a comforter." Verse 17, he says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Friends, for those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are on the winning team. Our hearts should be full of joy knowing that Jesus Christ is there. He was in this world. He went back and he sent us that Holy Spirit. But the world cannot see it because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. And then in verse 18, he goes on and he says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." What a wonderful promise. He will never leave us. He will never leave us comfortless. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that he would send down, would be able to be, to go with each and every one of us. Wherever we are, whatever we do, it is there if we only allow it to be there. If we only accept it into our heart, it is there and it will lead, it will guide us, it will comfort us, it will admonish us when we're on a wrong road, when we've left the straight and narrow way, and it'll be there for us. And I want to turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 13. And he says, here we read, and these are also Jesus' words, where he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." again, a benefit for us. And Jesus says, the sooner I go, the sooner I leave you, the sooner I will be able to send you that comforter. And what is the purpose for it? We read on in verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That is the purpose for the Holy Ghost to come, for the Holy Spirit to come into this world. For us to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and then to be able to be guided through this world by this Spirit, by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that Jesus sent to his believers. And what will it reprove us of? We go on in verse 9, of sin. Because they believe not on me. So we will be able to know whether we are living in sin or not. And he goes on, of righteousness. Because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. In verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus came into this world. He gave his life on the cross. He testified in due time. He fulfilled the promise that he had promised to Adam and Eve, that he would send, that Jesus would come into this world and he would testify. He would give himself. He would be judged by the world. But he was judged righteously by God because there was no sin in him. And then in verse 12, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. And when I read that verse, many times a thought comes to my mind of the time when Jesus was talking to his disciples, where they had come from, what they had gone through, what the sacrifices that they had had to make till then for their sins. And now here, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, he had come into this world and he told his disciples that I will go back. I would love to stay here and tell you many more things, but he says, you will not be able to understand it. But he says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that I will send back down to you, he will lead and guide you. What a benefit. And then in verse 13, he goes on. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will shew you things to come. So not only will he be here with us every minute, every step of the way, but the last part of this verse, he says he will also show us things that will also come before us. And sometimes when we hear of these things that are yet to be fulfilled or that are to come, we maybe get anxious or maybe whatever it is. But God tells us, don't do that. Don't get anxious. Don't get excited. Don't get discouraged. Wait patiently. Jesus, when the time was right, he came back and he fulfilled the promises that he had promised. But the people had to wait. They knew that Jesus had promised. And there were many that believed that he would come back. How strong are we? Do we truly believe the many promises that he has promised us in his word? Do we wait patiently? If we do, we will benefit. And if we don't, as I had in my message last Sunday, it'll go against us. It is up to us. We can choose. He loves us so much that he allows us to choose. I want to turn to Psalm chapter 68. Psalm chapter 68, verses 19, and in the first part of verse 20. And there we read, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation." Blessed is the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. The Holy Spirit is come down. The Holy Spirit dwells within the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit benefits us every day. As it says here, it loads us with benefits every day. Promise. And I want to turn to Psalm chapter 103. And this psalm, it gives us many blessings, many benefits that we can have, that each and every one of us can have, that follow Christ's teachings, that take the word of God for what it is, not for what I think or what you think it should be, but for what it is. In the first verse, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So first of all, here the first two verses, they start off with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name and forget not all his benefits." Again, we are reminded not to forget. "Who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all our diseases." A promise, a benefit. Christ came, and this is what he's offering us. Verse 4, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." He has saved us. He has saved each and every person that has, he has died for every person that has ever been born or will be born into this world. He has died for them. It is up to us whether we want to be saved from destruction. "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." So many times we take life so for granted, when we should look at the mercy and the loving kindness that he still gives to us. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Again, and many times we as followers of Jesus Christ, we do get oppressed. We get discouraged. God doesn't want us there. But if we are faithful to him, we have this promise that he will carry us through those times also, that Satan won't be able to get a hold of us. Verse 7, he says, "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." He did it back then already, even before Jesus came into this world. He made it known to Moses. He carried them, but they had to do their part, just like we have to do it now. Verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful." Again, He repeats himself that the Lord is merciful in just in different words. And again, he says, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And I must testify to that, that the Lord truly is merciful. And he has plenty of mercy on my life, where I so many times fall so short. And yet he's there. He's slow to anger. And when I realize where I've gone, and I come back to him, the burden that he lifts off of my soul, it is hard to understand. But that is the God that we serve. But in verse 9, he gives us a warning. He will not always chide. My friends, life in this world will come to an end. Or sometimes when we deny him long enough, he will leave us alone. The Holy Spirit will leave us alone. We will be able to go our own way without the Spirit telling us that we're on the wrong track, because that is a choice that we have made. Neither will he keep his anger forever. Him. He wants us in his favor. In verse 10, he tells us that he hath not dealt with us after our sins. And again, I must confess, the peace and the joy that he continues to give me, I do not deserve. But it is because of the benefits that he has given us. The love. Because of the loving God that he is. And that Jesus was willing to come into this world to give his life. And then he goes on in verse 10. He says, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And that is so true. I have not received what I deserve. But because of the grace of God, I am who I am. And I thank God daily for that. Verse 11, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. How true that is. And then he goes on in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. I don't know how far heaven is above the earth, and I have not traveled the whole world. I don't know how far it is from the east to the west. But I do know it is a long way. And if we have confessed our sins, that is how far he removes them from us. Verse 13, he goes on and he says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that have fear on him, that fear him. For those of us that have had children, how we want to protect our children that they don't get hurt. Likewise, it tells us here that is exactly who God is. Sometimes he sees the danger that we're headed toward. And many times it starts off in small steps. But he doesn't want us down that path. He wants us to take a different route. He wants us to follow him. And sometimes he will allow things to come into our way so that we can get to see ourselves. But also, as it says in verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. When God had created the whole world, and everything that is in it before he had made man, he said, I will make man in my own image. When he created the rest of the things, he said, and it was done. And when he created Adam, he stooped down and he drew in the sand the form of a man. And then it says, and he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and it became a living soul. We are created after his own image. God knows that. But he also knows how frail we are, that we're made out of dust. He created us out of dust, and once we die, we return back to dust. In verse 15, he's given us an illustration of how frail we really are. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. And oh, how real that is. We have a tree in our house. It's a hibiscus tree, and it has bloomed a lot this last year. Very, very pretty flowers. But they only last a few days. And when they fall off, you go look on the tree and you cannot see where they came from. That is what he compares our life to. We are here. We are to be beautiful. We are to serve our Creator. Because he says we are very, very frail. And that we are not here for all eternity. And I also thank God for that. When we look around us, we don't want to be here for all eternity. When I was younger, I always thought I wanted to grow old to be 100 or maybe even more, 125. I don't have no desire to go there. It does not look like joy. And God knows that. When we look at the beginning of creation, how long people lived, it grew to be 900 years old. I can't imagine what they all went through. Just in my lifetime, how things have expanded, increased technology. What would it do in 900 years? I think it would be the same as when we read before when Jesus told his disciples, he says, I would love to tell you more, but you will not be able to understand it, and life would be the same. If they continued to progress the way they have progressed since I was born till now, there would be just so much more than we would be able to understand. And so God shortened life that he would still find faith. Then in verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. How many times can't we read in the Bible of God blessing people that lived in this world? He blessed their children and their children's children because of the lifestyle that person had lived. And that's what he's talking about here. Because of the righteousness. He says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Not those that live in unrighteousness, but that fear him. Verse 18, he goes on and he says, to such as keep his covenant. God has made a covenant with us, with his people, that if we continue in him, that he will be there, that Holy Spirit will be there, it'll lead and guide us. And here it says, to such as keep his covenant. So So if we have, if we do our utmost to follow in his steps, this promise is for us. It'll benefit us. It'll benefit our children. It'll benefit our children's children. And we do have the joy of seeing our grandchildren grow up. There's so many things that I've forgotten when our children were small, of the things that they did. When I see our grandchildren do those things, and then to know that God will bless them as he has blessed me or my wife in this life, that is truly worth going on for. Being in the will of God, doing what he has called us to do. Verse 19, he says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasures. And here when it talks about ministers, he's not specifically talking to ministers that preach across the pulpit. He's talking to each and every one of us who have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, that have accepted him as our personal Savior, that we go out and allow our lives to show. And as I once heard, he said, where it was said, show it. It should show in your life. And then it said, and if you have to, use words. Allow your life to show who's truly reigning in it. Who's in control of your life? And then in verse 22, he says, bless the Lord, all his works in the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want to share four more verses out of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. When we look at these words, this is the Apostle Paul that has written these words, and we know that when he was converted on the road to Damascus, when he was struck down and he was converted, he was taught by the Holy Spirit. The first years he could not go with the disciples of Jesus Christ didn't want Paul to be in their midst because he had persecuted them and they didn't trust him. So he was taught by the Holy Spirit. And he was given all kinds of insight. And here he says, because of that, the Lord also allowed tribulations to come into my life, that I should not be exalted, that I had done this out of my own, but that it was God who gave it to me, that it was revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 8, Paul goes on and he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. In verse 9, he goes on, and he said unto me, and this is the voice of God speaking to Paul, and he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I was weak, then am I strong. And I trust that we too can get encouragement that we can benefit from the word of God as he has spoken through me this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of the service and we thank you for leaving us a roadmap. We thank you for the many benefits that you have put within your roadmap, the many signs that you have given us that we would know that we are on the right track, and the Spirit to convict us when we fall short. Father, we pray that as we go out this week, that we truly might be ministers for you, that our lives would show very clearly who it is that we serve. And Father, it is only possible in your strength. And so, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen your believers, that they could go out and be that light that you have called us to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. For closing, I want to bless you with a benediction, which we find in Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And I want to thank you once again for tuning in. And may you go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching.